Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Matt going to hand to Freeman. Devontae cuts it back. Uh-oh. 40, 45, 50. One guy to beat. 30, 25, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Atlanta. 75 yards, Devontae Freeman. Sterling Moore was nothing more than a guy looking at the license plate of 24.
West Durham Falcons Radio Network on that call. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back in the Kia Studios with you here on a Monday morning. Getting it going. No John Fricke this week. Chuck Ree in. Hugh Douglas in the house getting his week's leave. He's in Tokyo this week from his Hamburger Hill duties. It'll be all back to reality next week, Hugh. This week, enjoy yourself, Hugh. I'm here to entertain and amuse you and help you get through. Your Ohio brother from another mother, 70 miles west. So we will.
Good morning. Good morning. All right.
We will have plenty of fun. Don't forget, we're streaming online, 929thegame.com. It's our new and improved website. Go there. You can listen to the show live. You can also catch replays and interviews of the shows. Download your radio.com app. Put that on your phone, your tablet. Hugh, put it on your turntable, your CD player, whatever you got. Boombox. That way you can catch us on the go. Keep up with all of our social media at 929thegame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. All of it is there and available to you. Follow us, like us, do all that kind of stuff. The best way, as always, if you want to follow along and interact with us on the show, he is at BigHugh53 on Twitter. I am at JMCH316 on Twitter. That way you can interact, as some of you already have. So a couple of Falcon things here, Hugh, to get into. Maurice Jones-Drew of NFL Network and NFL.com had put out his list of the top running backs in the NFL and thought it was interesting where Devontae Freeman ranked 29th ahead of only Lamar Miller, Kenyon Drake, and Ronald Jones. Here's what Drew had to say. There are a few things to point out here. Freeman was sidelined for 14 games last season with a knee, foot, and groin injuries. That said, Freeman was one of the most productive backs in the league in the three seasons leading up to his injury-riddled 2018, ranking fourth in rushing yards, tied for first in rushing touchdowns. He's fully capable of once again becoming the player who helped the Falcons reach the Super Bowl 51, but you just don't know how somebody will recover from injuries. However, I'm concerned that the return of Dirk Cutter as offensive coordinator, who held the same post for Atlanta from 2012 to 2014, doesn't bode well for Freeman getting back to producing at such a high level. Over the last seven seasons, Cutter's either been an OC or head coach in each. He's had a running back surpass the 1,000-yard mark only once. That was Doug Martin in 2015. See, I actually look at it as the opposite, Hugh. I think that with the offensive line additions that they made, both the rookies and the guys that they've signed in free agency, and the types of tight ends that they've brought in free agency, and the type of running back they drafted in Allison, I think they want to be a much more get back to also running. Now, they're going to be pass first because you got Matt and Julio, but they were 27th rushing the football last year. They know full well they can't be 27th rushing the football and be a Super Bowl team.
I agree, but I also agree with what Maurice Jones-Drew says, and this is why. Because he's assessing the team from last year's data that he's going over.
Right.
And the fact that Devontae Freeman was hurt and the history of Dirk Cutter. Now, we have boots on the ground here in Atlanta, so we know the story a little bit deeper than that. And we know that Coach Quinn has put a heavy emphasis on the run game. That's one of the things that he said straight out was lacking last year for this football team and that they had to get back to. So Dirk Cutter comes in knowing full well that Coach Quinn wants him to run the ball better. You know, we got these offensive linemen in the first round because Coach Quinn has put a heavy emphasis on running the ball better. So with that being said, being here, a guy that's in Atlanta, and you know, we're covering this team every day, I don't have a problem with what Maurice Jones-Drew said about Devontae Freeman, but we all know here in Atlanta that there has to be a more of an emphasis on the running game. You have to get the running game going, and that starts with Devontae Freeman.
I think Devontae Freeman, if you want to use that cliche term of X factor, Devontae Freeman is one of the big X factors for the Atlanta Falcons. And what I mean by that is, Hugh, if they really are going to be a Super Bowl team, if Devontae Freeman can get back to being a 1,000-yard rusher and maybe 50, 55 catches out of the backfield, it completely changes the dynamic of this offense. But it also changes the dynamic of your defense to allow them to stay off the field.
Takes the pressure off
of
them.
Be an effective short yardage rushing team. So when you talk about guys, Hugh, that can really have a big influence on this team that maybe we haven't talked enough about or maybe aren't being talked enough about, I mean, there's no question that Devontae Freeman can have a big impact on this team.
There's no question about that. And the fact that this team is better when he's running the ball, we've seen that.
Yep.
That breakout year that he had was the it factor and the X factor for the Atlanta Falcons. Look at it, because Tevin Coleman was the guy that was slated to be the starter coming into this thing. Devontae Freeman's athleticism and his ability outshined that, and he became the starter. Tevin got hurt. You know, I forgot about that. Tevin got hurt, and Devontae never looked back. Became a Pro Bowler behind it, and one of the better backs in the running game in the NFL. So, with all that being said, in order to get this team back to where it needs to be, and that's winning football games and making it to the playoffs, he has to be a big part of that. Because if you look at it, last year the numbers were comparable to the playoff year as far as offense production in the passing game. The running game is where you're lacking, and that's what really made you one-dimensional.
Yeah, and I think they, you know, Hugh, they were 27th rushing the football last year, and I kind of broke this down at night a couple of weeks ago about what it would take to get them into about the top 12 or 15. They're going to have to be about, I think the number I saw was about maybe 600 yards better rushing the football, and I think they can do that. I think it's both. I think Devontae Freeman gives him, and I understand, last year you had offensive line issues. I get them. But I'll also tell you that I think Tevin Coleman took too many negative yardage plays last year at the running back position.
A little bit. Yeah, he's a little bit of a dancer.
So I think the combination of Freeman's style, having Olison, you know, as a lead first kind of, you know, he was a very productive running back in college, a guy who, not breakaway speed, but he's got size, he's got strength, he can get through the line of scrimmage. And you know, the emphasis, Hugh, on both the offensive line and the types of tight ends that they've brought in here, where they want to get a little nastier, get a little bit more north and south. You know, yeah, they're going to have zone blocking scheme and stuff like that. I get that. But they are also a let's get north and south with the types of guys that they drafted and added into as free agents goes as well.
Yeah, and they want to control the line of scrimmage, bottom line. And that, in turn, helps the running game out tremendously. If you're up there moving the crowd and you're playing on the defensive side of the ball and you're pushing those defensive linemen into the linebackers' laps, that's going to make it easier for Devontae Freeman to go out and do his thing. Because you're right, Chuck, he does dance a little bit sometimes back there.
Yeah.
But it's out of necessity for the most part. Now, sometimes it becomes a little bit excessive because of, you know, guys are breaking free. But if you have the opportunity to make that first man miss on the other side of the ball for Devontae Freeman, making those positive yards, then that means that this running game is going to be so much better. And it's going to benefit – the passing game is going to benefit so much more from that. And there's no telling. Sky's limit for the Atlanta Falcons at that point, if you get that going.
And I think the underrated thing – John Chuckery, Hugh Douglas here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game. It's the morning show as we talk some Falcons football. I think the underrated thing about Devontae Freeman that we don't talk enough about is – how valuable he is in the passing game as well, Hugh, as a very good pass receiving running back, which in today's NFL, that's kind of what it is, right? You need a guy that can be a dual threat because guys aren't just going to line up and run it 35 times, you know, through the line of scrimmage. You have to be a guy that is versatile, that can run the football, catch the football, things like that.
Yeah, and even the guys that do carry 35 times. Every now and then, Chuck, they catch the ball out of the backfield, out of necessity, and that makes your offense that more versatile. He's a guy that, you know, I think back when I played that wheel route, and that's what they usually send the running back out on, to have that defensive lineman go cover him. And I can tell you right now for a fact that is a defensive lineman's worst nightmare, to have to cover a guy like Devontae Freeman step for step. When you're in a certain defense where you have to cover the flat and he's out there in that flat and you have to carry him to a certain point and hope that your corner sees it or the linebacker sees him and picks him up when he leaves you. Yeah, that's a nightmarish thing.
Did Ike or Trot ever tell you to go out there and cover that
guy?
Oh,
no, I had to. And I used to be like, damn it, man, y'all better hurry up and get there. Like, I would always say that, or I would tell Ike, dude, You better pick this guy up once I take him to the zone
because you weren't gonna go against the run.
Nah, definitely
you gonna do that.
Run.
So
definitely
I know
did not. I did not like being in the passing game.
Okay,
especially when you would go through practice and at that point, Brian Westbrook yeah. was the guy.
Oh Lord.
Oh yeah, that was a nightmare.
And I bet he intentionally made you.
Well,
run,
he used to laugh about it.
Yep, I'll guarantee you. I can see already. Some of those guys made you purposely run,
yeah.
just knowing that this is the last thing on earth you want to do.
Yeah, not dropping in the covers. No, I don't want to do that. Don't want to do that. And would be in heaven when nobody came into my area. That's the best thing you could do. Nobody comes in my area, or the blitz gets there before the play develops.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was great. That was great. You didn't want that. You did not want that.
So there are some odds out, Hugh, that have come out recently about the Falcons' playoff odds. And according to bookmakers, they give the Falcons chance to make the playoffs at 37%. Here's the NFC teams that are above them. The Saints, Rams, Eagles, Packers, Vikings, Cowboys, Seahawks. Over-under win total at 9.
Packers.
Super Bowl odds at 33-1. Yeah,
wow.
Let me say it like this. I firmly believe, this is my personal opinion, okay? I firmly believe that if the Falcons are not in the playoffs, they'll have a new head coach next year. I believe the time will have come that, okay, it's been back-to-back years with our quarterback and our wide receiver and our running back and all these guys in their prime, and we've got to really dump a lot of money into our defensive players that, okay, if we can't get to the playoffs with these guys now, then I need a new voice out there. So I personally believe that's the case. Two is there's a lot of teams on that list that are not better football teams.
Yeah,
top to bottom than what the Atlanta Falcons are.
I agree.
The Cowboys, Packers, those aren't better football teams than the Atlanta Falcons.
No, they're not. I think that the biggest thing for those teams is that you look at them and you look at the pieces and you would say, okay. And most of that, I think, is coming from a national perspective. You look at the pieces and you say, oh, okay, they're going to be this, that, and third. I would say that right now that the Cowboys will probably be the second best team in the NFC.
Really?
I would say, well, you know, my Eagles bias might be rearing its ugly head right now, but I would say the second. I would definitely say the second.
So the team that went to the Super Bowl last year wouldn't be first or second.
Well, I'm saying, I was thinking it strictly
the East.
Okay, I was thinking
sorry.
Of strictly
I apologize.
The East. I'm sorry.
Apologize.
I was thinking strictly the East. Yeah. No, the Rams, no doubt. But with this degenerative knee that Ty Gurley has,
mm-hmm.
that might, that might be an issue for them.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely is an issue for them. But you have to give them the nod for what they've accomplished. And I would say if you're talking about the NFC just as a whole, the Saints are the second-best team right now.
Oh, I don't disagree. And what I say about the Rams is, and Randy McMichael and I used to talk about this all the time, the Rams will go as far as Jared Goff is going to take them.
Yes.
It's not about Todd Gurley.
And he's about to get paid, too.
Yeah, but they don't want to pay. They've been very stingy about paying him and Sean McVay, by the way. They're general manager and their finance people both come out and said, yeah, we're good right now not paying everybody. So because they got so many other guys they have to pay first to you that they have to wait
and I think
for all
that. I think Aaron Donald kind of set them back a little bit.
But you look when healthy. The Falcons roster doesn't have to take a backseat to anybody. I mean, their quarterback doesn't take a backseat to anybody. Their wide receivers don't take a backseat to anybody. Running back, now the improvements on their offensive line. Their offensive line can even be just, I don't know, Hugh, 15% better than it was last year.
It's going to be a lot better.
Yeah,
15% is a lot better. The thing that scares you about the Atlanta Falcons, outside of Deion Jones and what Keanu and everybody, like those two guys, like you don't have that meat and potatoes up front. Well, Grady, I give Grady his props,
mm-hmm.
but like the perimeter guys, you ain't got that guy. Like, when you look at those teams that we're talking about, most of them have somebody that is that guy.
Disruptive force.
Yeah, disrupt up front.
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox.
Yeah.
Atlanta,
Aaron Donald.
Philadelphia Eagles. Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm.
Guys like that. They have that guy that you look at. And say,
even Cam Jordan in New Orleans.
Yeah, disruptive.
Yeah.
You got that one guy that on
again,
fourth and long, third and long.
That's why Dan is being hands-on, and that's why Dan is taking over the defense, and that's why
Dan himself.
Because don't think that Dan Quinn doesn't understand, too, that I can't just not be a playoff team with this group of guys and think I'm going to survive all that. Because I'd say it this way, and I say this with the Braves, too. You can't waste everybody's prime. That's why I get all frustrated about the Braves is that you got Freddie Freeman in his prime. You can't waste his prime right now.
Yeah, you got to strike while iron's hot.
Well, when you've got Matt and Julio and these guys in their prime – You have to strike while the iron is hot. You have to cash in on these guys are in the dead red center of their prime. Because, you know, Julio can be 31 years old, but an old 31. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he can be 31, but be an old type of 31 in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, quarterbacks I get. But you've gotten away with the fact that Matt Ryan's never been hurt. And you start to say,
he's been real durable. Yeah.
Yes, you start to say, okay, he's missed two games for turf toe in his entire career. Can that continue?
Yeah,
11 years in.
And you know what the messed up part about it is? When you get older and have injuries, boy, you're slow to recover.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You're slow to recover. Like those little dings and stuff, like you wake up in the morning and you feel great. It's almost like you got a, you know, you refreshed. You got a new paint job and everything's feeling good. Those start to catch up with you.
See, I think the only way Dan could survive an injury is if Matt gets hurt. I don't think anybody else, including Julio or anybody else, I don't think that he gets the benefit of the doubt if they don't make the playoffs because of injuries and stuff. And, yeah, I get it. Our defense was drastically different. But at the same time, there was a lot of opportunities to make plays that this defense just never did. I mean, yeah. Desmond Trufant catches the ball against Cincinnati, you win the football game. So,
yeah. I don't think Dan Quinn's on the hot seat, though. I don't think he
let him miss the playoffs 2 years in a row, then tell me.
It's going to be a lot of conversation being had, but I don't think they're going to get him. Okay. I don't think they'll get him.
They may or may not. That will be very interesting. We don't even have to worry about them. All right, we'll get some NFL headlines when we get back, including we mentioned the Rams coach, Hugh. He just made a big life commitment decision right before he gets paid.
All right. Oh, no. I know what you're talking about. We'll talk about it on the
side. Talk about that next. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios with you here on a Monday morning. John Chuckery in for John Fricke all week long. Hugh Douglas in the house. It is the morning show. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with the show. He is at Big Hugh 53. I am at JMCH316. Be a part of our Twitter and our following, and feel free to interact with us this way. So some NFL notes, Hugh. We were talking about Sean McVay in the last segment. So he, I guess here, has proposed to his girlfriend. Now, of course, you know, the way everything has to be done is there it has to put it out on Instagram for it to be official. So
yeah, he changed his status on his Instagram?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he is engaged to his girlfriend, Veronica. Is it Comine? Is that how you pronounce her name?
I don't know. Is she fine?
She's a Ukrainian model, so what do you expect?
Well,
so,
yeah.
She put on her Instagram, can't wait to call him my husband, and a picture, I guess, I assume that's the ring and everything that she's got on or whatever like that. So they met somewhere between 2011 and 2013 when he was with the Redskins, and she was a student at George Mason University. You know, of course, he's the youngest coach in the NFL, and she's not exactly old herself. So Ukrainian model.
Yeah, she's nice.
Yeah.
She needs a sandwich or two, but, you know. I mean, hey, to each his own.
Really?
Yeah.
You think she's too skinny?
Listen, I like them all, but I like them a little bit. I like them, you know, with a little bit of meat on them.
You like a little duck butter on there.
A little duck butter. Look, yeah. Duck butter is not – nothing's wrong with duck butter. Nothing is wrong with duck butter, but she's nice looking. She's nice.
No, I saw you shooting the J at that 11 Live reporter.
Oh. Who? Oh, you talking about – no.
I saw that.
No, see, we've had this conversation about reporters. We've had this conversation before. No, I'm just nice. I'm a nice guy.
No, you're sensitive.
You know what, Chuck? I just know where I am, and as far as my J shootings go, I need more of a cave woman. And most people that work in television,
what does that mean? A cave woman?
A woman that doesn't mind. You know, she has probably calluses on her hands from lifting weights. She might ride a motorcycle, or she might, you know,
Grady's mom.
She might, Miss J, yeah, she thick. Boy, like duck butter. But I digress because she's a married woman and she has a husband. And right. if he's listening, I apologize. Your wife, fine. It's just fine. She's fine. And I didn't mean to say it. I didn't mean to talk about it with so much, like, you know, bravado in my voice. I'm just saying. Thanks a lot, Bo, for throwing that out there for me. I'm just saying, she's a very attractive lady. She is, and she's married. And
but that's the profile. That's the profile for you.
Yeah, because Mama Jerry look like she,
you
know.
You said we were
she
talking.
She will lift some weight. She like she go to the gym.
When I teased this story, you said you will never get married again.
Never.
Now, you've been married, what, twice?
Yes.
Okay.
The starter wife, and then I was married for like 10
years. Yeah, see, I've only had my starter wife. So I'm not completely jaded by the marriage.
You know
thing.
What it is? I'm not jaded. It's just that I know that who I am, that a lot of women, like the wife that I had that I screwed it up, she probably was the closest thing that I had to somebody who could tolerate me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, now nah. Cause I'm too set in my ways to change, and that would be a problem for most women. That would definitely be a problem.
If I psychoanalyze it though, I think part of it is you got older kids, you've got FU money. And
no, that's not even it.
It is.
No, you know what? It is. That's it not is. It, Chuck. It's like
if I had FU money, my mindset. No,
you know
would be
what
totally
it is,
different.
Chuck.
I can tell you.
It's
100%
like this.
Promise you.
You know, because me and Randy talked about this. It's sometimes that you want to be like you want to be by yourself. Like sometimes you come home.
Yeah.
And you just want. It's not like nobody's done anything to you.
I understand.
You just want to be by yourself. And most women don't understand that. And it's in a woman's nature to when if you come home and you're not communicating, she wants to know exactly what's going on. Like sometimes there's nothing going on. It's just that I just want to come home and be by myself. And then you get that. So what's the matter? Nothing. Then they go away for a little while. What do you mean? What's the matter? Well, you're not talking to me. And then it turns into something that it doesn't need to be. And then in turn, it turns into me saying something that I probably shouldn't have said that rubs her the wrong way, mm-hmm. that makes it worse. So, you know, I just know that about me. So it's like, and no matter how much you try to explain to a person that there's nothing wrong and that this is just how I roll, they don't understand that. That's the biggest thing that I've run into.
The only thing I disagree with you is just the fact that FU money fills in a lot of gaps. There's a lot of gap because you can fill in a lot of different gaps and holes on a short term basis with FU money to.
I don't look at it like that. I don't look at it like that because if you know any woman that knows me, she'll tell you that I like to live a Spartan lifestyle. It's not like you know.
No. But you have it available to you. You have that available to you.
See again. Don't look at it like that. I'm just set in my ways.
I'm telling you from a common man's perspective. I'm just a working stiff.
I can guarantee you that there are working stiffs that are the same way that I am, but it's like this. They've probably been in a situation for so long that their significant other understands that about them and they just kind of let it go. But it's some guys that even when they can't tell their significant others that, hey, you know what? Sometimes I just don't want to be bothered with you. Like you said in a joking way, but sometimes when you come home, and guys, I know guys feel like this. Sometimes you come home from work, you've had a rough day. You don't want to see nobody. You just want to come home, get you a nice little a meal and a beer, and don't say nothing to me. I mean, that's not nothing that you've done, but it's like, just let me go. Right. Just leave me alone. But, you know, you get home. How was your day? What did you do? What did you eat?
This is where the FU money comes in. When you need and want the companionship, you can get the companionship and not have to worry about all the
For
the rest of us working guys and for the rest of us jabrones out there that you know, you have to take the yin and the yang.
I hear what
of
you're
all
saying, but I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way because I can spend.
Because you have a few money.
Well, I look at it like this. I can spend a long period of time by myself and be okay. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just kind of how I'm wired. That's just kind of how it is. So if it comes along, if a relationship or potential for one comes along, I'll welcome it. But I also, at the same time, I kind of lay it out there all on the table. You know what I mean? And some people are cool with it until they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how it usually works out.
Yeah, because that's what FU money allows you to
do. I hear you.
Again, I'm not trying to – I'm not.
No, listen, I hear what you're saying.
I'm not knocking. I'm just saying.
I hear what you're saying.
It's different for the rest of us on dim screens.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. But I don't see it that way. I just see it as me being set in my ways and not really caring that whole lot about what is thought of me. At this point in my life.
Hugh Douglas, John Chukria, in for John Fricke here all week long. So Baker Mayfield paid off his bet with Saquon Barkley. They made a bet after the draft as to who would win the AP NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year award. Barkley said that the losers got to get somebody else a chain. We get to pick the chain, and we get to have fun with it because obviously everyone's talking about who's going to win. Well, as Barkley took home the award, Baker Mayfield has paid off his bet. If you see it online, look on Saquon Barkley's Twitter. He's got the quads. There's a picture of Baker Mayfield with the quads chain that he gave to Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. I mean, you know, he's a – you know, Baker Mayfield has rubbed people the wrong way with some of the things that he's done. But I think he's a good teammate. I do.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that he's kind of young and he's going to learn as he goes. But sure. I think at the end of the day, he's a guy that
– Don't you want your quarterback to have some moxie?
That's why I didn't have
that
a problem
position.
With it. I did not have a problem with what he said. A lot of people did. And his teammates that are on the team, they expressed that and they checked him for it. They sat him down and said, hey, man, don't do that. I think he learned from his mistakes. But, you know, we live in a day and age where – cookie-cutter quarterbacks, they all say the same thing. They all have the mm-hmm. same press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when he came out and he was the way that he was, when he said it about Hugh Jackson the first time, I thought that was disrespectful. But when he came out the second time and did another teammate like that, I said, hey, listen, he's consistent, and he's saying something. He's saying something different. Now, the last time it rubbed people the wrong way, and they kind of brained him in a little bit. But I don't have a problem with a quarterback being up there and being as forthcoming, because you hear the same, oh, we didn't play well, yada, yada, yada.
By the way, that
good coach, he was a good coach, yada. He told you how he felt.
That organization needed a little attitude because that's been a dreadful organization, and they've been completely irrelevant. They need a little bit of attitude, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they need an identity.
Yeah.
They haven't had one.
They need somebody who can be a face for that franchise, because they've had zero in 20
years. They haven't had one since, since Hanford Dixon and Frank Minifield and the dog pound. That's when they started the dog pound.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you remember when you used to have posters on your wall and they had those guys on the post. Remember they standing around with the white? They had the dogs and they had the white. Dude, that was when, even though they weren't winning anything, they were in the play. They were a playoff team, and they had some character on that squad.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the last time I remember the dog pound or the Cleveland Browns being somewhat relevant.
Yeah.
So you got to have that. Yeah, definitely got to have that.
That era with those guys and Bernie Kosar and everything, that was their last great run. When we get back, Hugh, the NBA awards show is tonight. We'll kind of go through the categories. We'll see if Trae Young can win Rookie of the Year, and we'll kind of take a look at the other categories and see what we think about all of it. So up next, Chuck Rehan for Fricky, Hugh Douglas, Sports Radio 910 The Game.
You're going to go through some obstacles early on, and once you get comfortable, everything's going to break through, and that's ultimately what happened this year.
Everything speaks for itself. I've played every game besides one, and I think whenever you're out there and you're playing every night, things can go good or bad. So the more opportunities that you play, more time it's going to show. For me, everybody's going to talk about the Rookie of the Year, and I mean, I think it's a debate, but at the end of the day, whatever happens, happens.
That's Trae Young bringing us back in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Chuck Rehan for John Fricky on the morning show. Hugh Douglas in the house as we roll along here on a Making It Move Monday.
Make it move, Dan.
404-741-0929 is our phone line. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at Big Hugh 53 at JMCH316. You want to be a part of the show and interact with us throughout. So tonight, Hugh, is the NBA awards show. Of course, Trae Young here in Atlanta is up for the Rookie of the Year award.
So where is that?
That's a good question.
Is it? I want to say probably somewhere. Well, everywhere is warm right now, for the most part. But I'm thinking like L.A.
Yes,
everything's out in L.A. because they just had the BET Awards last night, and now that they're having the NBA Awards, so it's probably going to be a lot of people carrying over from the BET Awards that are going to the NBA Awards. That should be pretty cool.
Yeah, 9 o'clock tonight will be the awards, and I was trying to see where the ceremony. I know Abe said L.A. in my ear, but I was trying to see where is it. The hangar. What's the hangar, Hugh?
I do not know.
Oh, a hangar.
An airport hangar. That's pretty dope.
Okay.
That sounds like that's pretty dope. That sounds like that's pretty fun time.
Okay. Well, listen, whatever you got to do, Barker Hangar.
Barker.
At the Santa Monica Airport.
Barker. Yeah, that sounds like, that's some exclusive stuff. That sounds like that's a pretty fun event.
Yeah, I mean, that probably just makes it easier for the players to just fly right in and get
bam,
out.
Boom. That's done.
So do you think Trae Young wins the Rookie of the Year award tonight?
I think he has a strong possibility. I think it's a strong
chance. Well, there's only two guys. I mean, I know Ayton is the third guy, but it's either Luka or Trae, right?
Yeah,
What do you think? Go on a limb. Is he winning or not?
See, I'm being Atlanta biased, but I'm going to say Trae.
Okay.
I'm going to be Atlanta biased.
I think you're going to give it to Luka.
It's funny because this is the thing. Luka was the early front runner at the beginning of the season.
Yep.
Trey came on strong towards the end.
Real strong.
But as we all know, sometimes the front runner usually gets this award because that's the person.
I just think the perception of Luka, you know, I just think that he's going to get it for that. I'm not telling you he's a better player. I'm not telling you.
No, and I'm not saying that. I think Trae Young, what hurt him, definitely Summer League hurt him. That hurt him because he had a rough Summer League. Let's just call it what it is. And he started out a little slow. But then he came on, and then you started to see
the
talent.
Yeah.
You started to see the talent. And he started to become a strong contender for the Rookie of the Year. I would say worst-case scenario, co-Rookie of the Year. Co-Rookie of the Year. But I think that he should get it. But like I said, a lot of people, man, like they swear up and down. They're diehards. But they're not. And they're looking at it from the beginning of the season. And that's where Luka probably has him, from the beginning.
So some of the other awards, MVP, obviously Giannis up for it, James Harden, Paul George. Where do you think, MVP?
Paul George? You said Paul George? Did you say Paul George?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Paul George, James Harden, Greek Freak. That's.
Wait a minute, Paul George?
Mm-hmm. Unless Abe's got it wrong on this list.
No, I'm not dissing this game. I just kind of surprised about that. I would say the Greek Freak. That just I'm sorry. If anybody's a Paul George fan, it just kind of blew my mind that Paul George was on that list. It just did. I'm sorry.
I think given the success of what Milwaukee did this year, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be the Greek Freak who's going to get the MVP award.
Yeah.
Your defensive player of the year, Giannis, Kawhi. Paul George, Rudy Gobert.
No Kawhi Leonard. No Kawhi?
Mm-mm.
Hmm.
You look very perplexed.
Segment. Maybe because I'm living in the moment. Maybe I'm in the moment of it. I mean, defensively, he was like a beast. He got back.
But Giannis
like,
was terrific defensively.
Oh, okay. I mean that's fine.
Paul George, Rudy Gobert, Giannis.
I'll give it to Giannis, man.
I think probably of those three, he's going to end up winning.
No, he was everything. He was all on both ends of the court. I'm just like the list that you're giving. Maybe I'm caught in the moment. That's what it is, Chuck. I'm just going to go with that one.
You're thinking about not being married again.
Well, okay. No, I was thinking about what I just saw defensively, and I know the playoffs are a different entity, but. I mean, Kawhi's kind of been like that all season, hasn't he? I mean, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, there's no question that Kawhi Leonard is the best two-way player in the NBA,
I mean,
right?
And so I'm like, why isn't his name? I don't know. Okay. I mean, but yeah, okay. I got you. I'm with you.
How about Coach of the Year? Mike Budenholzer, Michael Malone, Doc Rivers. How could it not be Mike Budenholzer?
But Budenholzer.
Yeah,
Budenholzer.
How could he not be?
I mean, especially when you – like, I think especially when we know the history and the past – of what he went through here and how he coached here and what he inherited up there in Milwaukee and what he was able to get them to do in one season. Yeah, Mike, Coach Bud, all day.
John Chuckley, Hugh Douglas in the Key Studios on Sports Radio 910 The Game as we're talking about the NBA Awards show that will happen later on tonight. Your sixth man of the year?
Lou Williams.
I would think so. So Bonus Harrell or Lou Williams, wouldn't it be Lou Williams? I would
all
figure
day.
That he's going to be that guy. Most improved player, De'Aaron Fox, D'Angelo Russell, or a guy we just saw in the NBA Finals, Pascal Siakam.
Siakam.
I think so, too. If you look
Siakam.
At his numbers.
No, you know, it's funny about Siakam. The first night, I think he hit him for like 30. The first night
Yeah,
of the
but
playoff.
You're talking about this a regular season award.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like in the playoffs, when he.
Yeah, but I'll bet you this was voted on before that.
Oh, no, you're probably right.
Yeah.
But what I was saying was in the playoffs, John Chuckery, he was a guy that a lot of people looked at and thought that it was a one-off. Like that first game was a one-off.
Yeah, we went for 32.
Yeah, and how he contributed throughout that whole series. I think that's why, you know, the regular season for him was great, but that's what people are going to remember mostly, and that's why he's going to get the award.
Yeah, he went from starting five games last year. He played in 81 games last year. He went from starting five games last year, Hugh, to 79 starts this year. He increased his minutes by about just barely over 11 minutes per night. Went from 7.3 to 16.9 points per game, 4.5 rebounds to 6.9 rebounds per game as well. So greatly, greatly increased his numbers. Went from a 22% three-point shooter to a 37% three-point shooter. So I would guess it would be Siakam when it's all said and done.
Mm-hmm.
I would be I would be surprised, given Milwaukee's season, if they don't clean up tonight.
It's going to be the Milwaukee Awards.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, for Giannis, for Mike Budenholzer, I mean, this feels like that this is, especially if we're talking about the regular season awards, that this is their night to go in there and clean up on a lot of this kind of stuff. So I would expect that Milwaukee will pick up a lot of the big hardware, offensive player or MVP, defensive player of the year, Coach Bud, coach of the year, which, I mean, look, Coach Bud deserves it. I mean, there's no doubt that Milwaukee's a different organization and franchise. I mean, yeah, it was disappointing, I know, for them to lose to Toronto in the Eastern Conference Finals, but at the same time, you can't deny how good Giannis and Milwaukee took that big step forward this year.
No, no question about that. And my man Bernard Scott just told me Kawhi missed 27 games. That's the only reason why he wasn't up for, you know, defensive player or MVP.
Yeah, he did have that stretch where he was out. But still, I mean, he's still the
best. Like I said, prisoner of the moment.
On the court, he's still the best two-way player in the NBA.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like I said, prisoner of the moment. No disrespect to Paul George either. Because, you know, Dr. Sanders told me that he was good with his return to OKC. So, I mean, no disrespect. It's just, you know, I was just kind of surprised. I'm a prisoner of the moment.
We get back. Foltynewicz sent down to the minors. Soroka hurt. Newcomb coming back. A lot of changes in his pitching staff. Talk some Braves baseball with you here. John Chuck Green for John Freaking, the Key Studios on Sports Radio 92 of the Game. Hugh Douglas, The Morning Show. We'll be back.
The Braves were the team I grew up watching, and such a rich history. And I mean, this group could be just like the division winners and the World Series winners. So,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.